Pastor. All right. Am I good? Am I on? Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. John chapter 8, if you would. John chapter 8. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to give you a little bit of an unusual message for Independence Day. Maybe a little bit. The pastor had asked to speak on America, and I tried very hard. And I'm going to kind of, but maybe a little different than the other messages that are going to be shared tonight. I read a lot today about our country, and I would recommend, as a pastor, recommend that video. I have a book called One Nation Under God by David Gibbs, and if you've never read that book, it's a great book. It'd be worth ordering and reading. It's just a great book called One Nation Under God, and Dr. David Gibbs wrote it. Anyway, I was reading some of that today and was very interesting things and trying to get some direction about what to preach on, and I just couldn't get any direction, and so God led me to a pastor scripture, and I started to look at it, and so that's what I'm going to preach to you tonight, and it's going to go along with the theme of Independence Day, and I realize who I'm speaking to tonight. I really do. I realize that I'm speaking to faithful Christians. I really am. I mean, if you're in church on a Wednesday night, on a holiday, Independence Day, while many are having cookouts and get-togethers, and you're in the house of God, I understand who I'm speaking to, but I also understand what I'm speaking about is very relevant for those that are here tonight, us. And so I want to share something with you out of John chapter 8 and verse number 31. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share your word, and God, I pray that you would help me, Lord, please, to share the truth that you gave to me, Lord, with these people, and may it be a help to someone tonight, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you tonight on this thought or this question: are you free? Are you free? Really, when we think of Independence Day, we think of freedom, and we speak of freedom, And I thank God as a country, as a nation, that we're free. I do. I thank God for our freedoms. I was talking to Brother Tracy yesterday and talking about Afghanistan and some of the places in the world he's been. And I went to Honduras and just the different places in this world. And I thank God to live in a free country. I really do. I thank God for our freedoms. But I'm afraid that even in a free country, I'm afraid there's a lot of people that are not free. Inside these walls tonight, I'd say there's somebody here tonight. I don't know who you are. I don't know your name. But I know that in this building tonight, I feel confident that there's folks in this building tonight that are not free. There's definitely folks outside of this building tonight. Oh, yes, they're Americans. Oh, yes, they live in the United States of America. They're celebrating their independence and their freedom, but yet they're not free. And I want to speak to you tonight on that subject, that question: are you free? You say, "Brother David, I live in America. Of course I'm free." No, are you really free? You say, "Brother David, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Not only am I an American, but I'm a Christian." I didn't ask you, "Are you an American?" I didn't ask you, "Are you a Christian?" I ask you, "Are you free? Are you truly free?" You see, the word "free" means this. I looked it up in a Webster's Dictionary. It means to be set at liberty, to rescue or release from slavery, captivity, or confinement, to loose. It means to not be under constraint, without restraint, to not be controlled, to be at liberty. That's what it means to be free. And I'm just asking you tonight, are you free? Are you really free tonight? See, there's many people that are celebrating freedom today. They're celebrating freedom, but they're in bondage. They're celebrating liberty, but they're in slavery. And I'm saying tonight, are you free? You see, Christians, and I believe I'm speaking tonight for the most part to Christians. And I'm speaking to a group of people that would say, "I'm free nationally and I'm free spiritually. I've been set free." But yet, even as a Christian, I believe with all of my heart, even as a Christian, we can be entangled. The Bible says, "Be not entangled in the affairs of this world." We can be enslaved. We can be in bondage. And I'm asking you tonight, on this Independence Day, are you free? Are you free? See, God wants to set you free. Is there something in your life that controls you, something that constrains you, something besides God that restricts you, something that enslaves you? Because if it is, then you're not really truly free. I don't know what it is tonight. I thought about things as I was preparing this message, and I mean, God gave this to me at the last minute. I've been all day trying to get a message on America, and I just couldn't get any peace. And then when I started reading this passage, it's like God just gave me something, and I hope it's for someone tonight. And as I was meditating about it, I was thinking about the things that enslave Christians, because I believe I'm speaking to Christians tonight. But can I tell you, there are Christians that are enslaved by bitterness. They're constrained. They're restricted. They're bound up by unforgiveness, by addiction, by anger, by lust, by covetousness, by greed, by money, by pleasure, by all kinds of different things, by pride. Hey, there are Christians all across this country, maybe in this building tonight, that are enslaved. Oh yes, they live in America. Oh yes, they're free nationally. Oh yes, they've been saved by the grace of God, and they're supposed to be free spiritually, but yet they've allowed sin and they've allowed the things of this world to enslave them. And I'm asking you tonight, are you free? Young person, are you free? Are you free? The Bible says here that we can be free. And I want to speak to you about that. I'm going to give you 3 points real quick. They're not going to be nothing spectacular, nothing you've never heard before. They're going to be very practical, but they're going to be also truthful. 3 things I believe tonight will really set us free. 3 things that will really set us free. Hey, what better day than Independence Day to be set free? There's somebody here tonight. You're enslaved. You're in bondage. You are bound up and you're not free. And can I tell you, hey, tonight on Independence Day 2018, you can be set free. Amen. You can be set free. The Bible says here, I say this, the number one thing I believe will set you free is this, the Son. Look at verse 36. It says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Thank God. Hey, tonight, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will set you free. There's somebody here tonight. Hey, it really, if we're honest, I'll be honest with you tonight. I think if we're honest, there's times in all of our lives that this can happen. And even as a Christian, we can just begin to get bound up and bogged down and constrained by the things of this world. And when we do, can I tell you what we need to do? We need to get to the Son of God. We need to get to Jesus, because Jesus sets people free. The Son, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. The Bible says the Son will set you free. In Luke chapter 4, if you want to turn there real quick, Luke chapter 4, Jesus stood up in the synagogue in Luke chapter number 4 in verse 18, and Jesus said this. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Hey, Jesus said, I've come to set people free. The Son of God will set you free tonight. I don't know what's got you bound. I don't know if it's unforgiveness. I don't know if it's bitterness. I don't know if it's sin. I don't know if it's lust. I don't know if it's pornography. I don't know if it's drugs. I don't know if it's a habit. I don't know if it's money. I don't know what it is tonight that's got you bound up. But can I tell you, hey, Jesus will set you free. Jesus will set you free. The Son will set you free. Somebody needs to get to the Son of God tonight and get set free. Hey, Jesus was setting them free. I thank God. If you read through the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ time and time again, you'll see him setting people free. I think about that maniac of Gadara. The Bible says that he was bound with fetters and chains, and no man could tame him. Hey, but when he got to Jesus, when he got to the Son of God, can I tell you what happened to him? He got set free. He got set free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hey, are you bound tonight? The Son will set you free. Number two, not only will the Son set you free, but the Scriptures will set you free. Go back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, the verse we read in 31 says, then Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You say, Brother David, I'm bound up. I'm enslaved. Oh, I know we live in a free country. Oh, I know a Christian's supposed to be free. But tonight I feel like I got chains on my hands. I feel like I'm enslaved. I feel like I'm constrained. I feel like I'm out of control. I just feel like I'm not free. Can I tell you what will set you free? The Son will set you free. Hey, but also the Scriptures will set you free. The Scriptures. He said that the Word of God, the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. James chapter 1, verse 25 says, calls it the, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Hey, the Word of God is a law of liberty. It's a law of setting people free. The Word of God, it'll set you free. Psalm 119, that great chapter on the Word of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Hey, the Word of God will set you free. You say, I'm bound up, Brother David. Hey, I know what will set you free. The Son of God will set you free, and the Word of God will set you free. Get in the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. See, the word of God will set you free tonight. God's word, it'll set you free. So I say, you say, I want to be free. I'll tell you what will set you free. The Son will set you free. I'll tell you what will set you free. The Scripture will set you free. Hey, I'll tell you what will set you free. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, hey, the Spirit will set you free. It says where the Spirit is, there is liberty. The Spirit of God will set you free tonight. I don't know who it is tonight that's bound up. I don't know who it is tonight that's enslaved. I don't know who it is tonight that's in chains and constrained and in bondage. But can I tell you, hey, there is a thing that will set you free. The Son of God, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God will set you free tonight. Hey, and whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hey, I thank God tonight on this Independence Day. Oh yeah, I thank God I'm an American. I thank God for my national freedoms. I thank God for my spiritual freedoms. But I thank God for the freedom that I have in Jesus Christ. I thank God that I'm not enslaved tonight. There was a time in my life where I was bound by sin and slavery. And I mean, I had no control. I couldn't get free. But thank God the Son set me free. The Scriptures set me free. The Spirit of God has set me free. And hey, He'll do the same for you tonight. You say, I'm bound up, Brother David. I want to be set free. Then get to the Son of God tonight. Get in the Scriptures tonight. Walk in the Spirit tonight. And I promise you, hey, you'll be free. You'll be free. There's no greater feeling in all the world than to be free. Hey, let's not lose sight of this tonight. My time's up. Let's not lose sight of this tonight. You know, outside of these walls, there's a lot of people celebrating something they know nothing about. Do we really get that? We live in a country that's celebrating. I'm not minimizing our freedom. I thank God for it. I'm not minimizing the freedom that we have as Americans. But I'm telling you, in America tonight, there are people enslaved. They're not free. Oh, they're celebrating their freedoms. They've got their t-shirts and their banners and their signs and they're talking about being free, and all the long they're enslaved. They're in chains. They're in bondage. But we are free. We're free. Hey, we ought to share that with somebody. I really believe we ought to share with our country, hey, you really can be free. And you can be free through the Son, through the Scriptures, and through the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, and God, thank you for the freedom, Lord, that we have in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful, God, for my freedom here in our country, Lord. God, I don't want to waste that freedom, Lord. I pray that we would share the gospel with a lost and dying world. God, I pray that we would use the freedoms that we have, God, to carry out your great commission. But Lord, thank you that whether we're in a free country, or whether we're in a communist country, whether we're on the streets or whether we're in the bed or whether we're in the hospital or whether we're in the jail, God, because of you, we can be free. God, thank you so much for the freedom that we have in the Son of God, the Scriptures, and in the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor David. You can give that to Pastor Brandon if you would. I'm going to ask the men, if you would, let's ask our ushers to come forward. Thank you for that good message. And
America, 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 America. This is my country, land of my birth. This is my country, grandest on earth. Treatise of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every let freedom ring. I pledge my life to America. I pledge my life to keep her strong and free, that others may enjoy the freedoms I have known, that others may enjoy God's gift of liberty. I pledge my life to America. I pledge my pledge my life to America.
Corinthians chapter 3. I've enjoyed the service thus far. I tell you, some of these things are just makes you wish you could sit down and just meditate on them and think on them for a while. And I hope you've had an opportunity to do that today, to take some time and just meditate on what it means to be free nationally and free spiritually, and what it means to be an American, to live in a country where we're free. We can come to church tonight, worship with people that we love and people we know and enjoy spending time with, and don't have to fear someone coming in and intruding. And we never give that a second thought. And what a blessing that is. Brother David's already used half of my verses, so I'm going to use the other half. He didn't use half of them, but I share some of his feeling today. I've done some reading and thinking on America, and if I'm honest, I enjoy history, enjoy reading, but there's a part of me that just doesn't feel very qualified to do too much of a historical message on the country of America. I'd rather listen to a David Gibbs or someone that's far more qualified. But I can give you some spiritual truth. We can give you some Bible. And I was thinking as they were singing, it's a great thing to be free nationally. It's a wonderful privilege to be an American and live in this country. But there's something far more important. There's something far greater than being free nationally, and that's being free spiritually. That's being free indeed. That's being free from the bondage of sin. And I'm glad that message is something that we can preach around the world. And there's no doubt in my mind that the providence of God has established America as a place where the gospel could be sent out, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God loved the world, I believe he established America to take the gospel to the world. It's a privilege to be an American, privilege to be in church tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse number 12, and just a little bit of background here. The Apostle Paul, he's comparing Old Testament ministry with New Testament ministry. He's comparing the ministry that Moses had with the law and the children of Israel with the ministry that now he's a part of, with the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And he's saying, you know what? We've got it better. We've got a far greater ministry and a message that we preach, because there were still people in his day that were trying to add law to grace and add works to salvation and mix the two. And Paul was a grace preacher. And he was saying, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have the gospel. We have the death, the burial, the resurrection. And there's nothing that's going to replace that. And so he picks up in verse number 12 and he says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm interested in verse number 17, kind of as a text to talk about this portion of Scripture, where Paul said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And those of us that have experienced salvation, we know what it's like to be free. We know what it's like to have our sins forgiven and to be set free from the penalty of sin. We don't have to go to bed tonight and worry about dying in our sleep and waking up in hell. We've been delivered from that. And because of our salvation, we can be delivered from the power of sin. One day we'll be delivered from the very presence of sin. But the question I want to ask you tonight is, I believe I'm talking to, for the most part, people that have been saved. You're free. But the question I want to ask you tonight is, are you changing?
You're free, but are you changing? You see, salvation, a lot happens, a lot changes the moment you get saved. Your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your sins are forgiven. You're justified in the presence of God. But the Bible also teaches that there's a process of sanctification. There's many people that sit in churches tonight, and they've experienced what it's like to be saved. They've experienced the joy of salvation, but they've never experienced the glory of sanctification. They've been saved, but they're not changing. They've been saved, and they're part of a church, but they're not growing. They're stale, and before we know it, they'll be out of church. So the question tonight is not, are you saved? The question is, you're free, but are you changing? You see, you said in verse number 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Paul said there's something greater that God has in store for you even now that you're saved. He said God's given us a book. And God has made it to where we can spend time in that book, and we can look into that perfect law of liberty, and we can be changed into the image of Christ from glory to glory. And I want to tell you, it's a glorious experience, isn't it? To be able to take a copy of God's Word and spend time with God and to be changed and conformed into the image of Christ. It's a glorious experience. I hope you've experienced it tonight. Liberty, in this context, means that the veil has been taken away. Verse number 13 through verse number 16, you find the phrase "the veil." It's in every verse. Look, if you will, again at verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. He's saying, when you get saved, God takes the veil away. And he's given the illustration of Moses, and we remember that when Moses spent time with God there on the mount getting the law, that when he came down from that mount, his face was shining. His face was glowing because he had been in the presence of God. And the Bible says that Moses had to put a veil over his face because the children of Israel, they seen him and they were terrified. He didn't know how to take it, and even in this verse, verse number 13, gives us another hint that the reason that Moses kept the veil over his face was so that the children of Israel would not see that glory begin to fade away, because the glory that Moses got on his face when he spent time with God eventually would go away. His face didn't shine forever. He had to go back and spend time with God again, take off the veil and go back, and his face would be shining again. Paul said, hey, you know what? We got something better. We don't have to worry about the glory of our ministry fading away. It's not going anywhere. Paul said, God's given us a book. We can spend time with God. And we're not like Moses. We're not reflecting the glory of God. He said, we can radiate the glory of God. God wants to change you. So the question tonight is not, are you saved? Not, have you been set free from sin? The question is not, are you American? It's, are you changing? You realize tonight, listen, God, he's interested in changing our lives. I mean, I'm talking about even after you're saved, God wants to make changes in your desires. God may make changes in your plans. God wants to work on your heart. See, a lot of things change at the moment of salvation. But can I ask you this? Has anything changed after you've been saved? What's changed after you've been saved? Is God giving you new desires? Is God giving you a love for his word? Is God giving you a greater love for his work? Is God giving you a love for his people, for the brethren? See, God is in the saving business, but he's also in the sanctifying business. You're saved, but are you changing? Are you changing? Why did God take the veil away? Why did God take the veil away? Let's pick up verse number 15. But even until this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. He's talking about the nation of Israel. They don't understand. There's a veil there. And then verse number 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When someone turns to the Lord, I believe that it there means the heart. Verse number 15, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, God takes the veil away. It's like the scales fall off. Amen. You begin to see your need. You begin to see that you need a Savior, and you trust Jesus as your Savior. And God gives you liberty. Verse number 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But with liberty comes responsibility. God saved us to change us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's a process. Now, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, here's what I think that our mindset is a lot of times. We think, you know what? Man, I'm going to get saved, and then I'm going to do all these outward things, and that's the change that's going to take place. And can I tell you, the outward does get changed. But can I tell you, it starts on the inside. Hey, listen, you might be here tonight, you might be thinking, well, Brother Brandon, I got saved, and I'm a faithful Sunday school teacher. I didn't ask you if you're a faithful Sunday school teacher. What's going on in your heart tonight? You see, you can be here Sunday after Sunday after Wednesday, VBS, revival meeting. I'm not asking you if you're faithful to church. I'm not asking you if you're teaching a Sunday school class. I'm not asking you if you're helping work on the bus ministry. I'm asking you, what's going on in that heart? You're free. You're saved. Are you changing? Are you changing? Do you love God more today than you did yesterday? You see, I'm not talking about religious activity. A lot of times we think, well, that's the mark of spiritual maturity. That's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about religious activity. He's talking about something far greater. He's talking about, have you spent time with God? Have you spent time with God? You know what it's like to be in the presence of God? And he opens up the next chapter and he says, therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, we faint not. He said, you know what? When you get that down, you don't quit. You know what happens in churches like this one? People get saved. They get saved and they get real busy. And I'm not saying it's bad to be busy. But if you get busy and you miss out on spending time with God, you're going to faint. You're not going to last. And then we see people that we love, people that we work with, people that we enjoy spending time with, and they fall out. It's because they got saved, but they're not being changed. I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian long enough now. I remember there's times in my life when, you know, there's peaks and valleys. And there's been times when, man, I've just been in the Word and God's really doing great things in my life. And I'll have this thought. I'll think, well, there'll never be a time when I won't enjoy opening God's Word. It'll just always be sweet. It'll always be fresh. It'll just always be good. And I've lived long enough to know that it doesn't happen that way. It's very easy to be faithful to church, faithful in your ministry, and that time with God just grows stale. How's your time with God tonight? David, I think, quoted or read Psalm 119, verse number 45, and it says this. The psalmist said, and I will walk at liberty. Why? Why will you walk at liberty? For I seek thy precepts. You're free. Are you changing? Are you changing tonight? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for salvation through Jesus. God, I pray that you would help us to understand the importance of spending time with you. Lord, that we may be changed into the image of your Son. Lord, as we do that, may we be able to serve you and, Lord, even be busy about ministry, but may we be energized by your Spirit while we do so. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Pastor Brandon. Good challenge from the Word of God. Brother John Shifflin, I'm going to ask if you would please come to the platform. Brother Dan Ward, if you would please come to the platform. Let's go ahead and cue that final video up, and we'll watch. I love America. I'm grateful to live in this great country. Back in 1980, I started following politics a little bit. And I was a young man, didn't have a whole lot of direction as far as political things were concerned, but there was a candidate that I had watched in some of the debates that got my attention. His name was Ronald Reagan. There was just something about his persona and something about the way he could captivate an audience. I listened to him, I really enjoyed some of the things that he said, even as a young man. I believe he was passionate. And I felt and sensed he believed what he was saying. But more importantly, though I was mixed up, messed up, I believe he loved this land. I just got that feel for him. I watched his inauguration. I did not know this until later as I began to kind of study some things about his life. That inauguration day, when he stood and stared the Supreme Court justice in the face, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and took his oath into office, he had his left hand upon a Bible. It was his mother's Bible. Her name was Nell. Nellie. So, later he would say that the passage of Scripture that he placed his hand on when he was inaugurated and took his oath that day was found in 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to ask you to turn there if you would. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, in verse number 14, he went on to say that his mother had a little note pinned beside that, that it was God's answer to healing any nation. And I believe that with all of my heart. I had gathered a lot of statistics here about America. I was going to share some things with you, but I don't think that would be necessary. Most of us know we're in trouble. Our country's in trouble. It is. I could narrow down the trouble of America not just in a few words or a few paragraphs or not even a sentence. I'm going to narrow it down to a word. It's not a big word either. It's a little three-letter word. S-I-N. That's America's problem. Sin. Sin's America's problem. And so, please don't take what I'm going to tell you tonight, that I don't think it's important to vote. Actually, I think it's un-American not to. And if you don't get mad at me now. I'm just saying that you ought to vote. But I don't think our responsibility to our government ends there. I think we all ought to pray for our elected officials. And I believe that, you know, we're in a pivotal time. You should follow the leadership of your country. And I mean by that, I mean you should follow what's going on. Know what's happening. Stay abreast to some current events. There's something very, very important, young people, getting ready to take place in our country. I hope you're following. I hope you know what it is. This administration is getting ready to choose another justice of the Supreme Court. It's very important. You say, that doesn't matter to me. Well, it ought to. It ought to matter to you. So I don't want you to take what I'm getting ready to say to you tonight. So, well, the preacher said that, you know, it doesn't matter if I vote. It doesn't matter if I keep up with current events. It doesn't matter if I pray for my elected officials. It does matter. It does matter. The Word of God teaches that we ought to do that. Romans chapter 13. The Word of God teaches this, brethren. That you ought to be involved in your government, the local government. You ought to pray and you ought to know what's going on. We ought to hold our elected officials accountable. The Scripture teaches these things. And that's part of what we're celebrating. Even today, a group of people got together. You know, the Declaration of Independence was a letter. You understand that, right? To King George III. You understand that. It was a letter saying, we're not going to tolerate you as a tyrant. Study your history. Know what's happening so that you can be in your mind, know what's going on around you and not just blindly believe and follow every voice that's out there. And so as I thought about what can I do? You know, when I was younger and didn't have a lot of direction in my life, I had a lot of energy, I had a lot of zeal, I had a lot of want to. I wanted to do something to help my country. I love America. I wanted to do something to help my country. I believe every patriotic person wants to do something to help their country. So what can we do? Well, I want to tell you, first of all, America's problem is not in the White House. Okay? America's greatest enemy is not North Korea. Al-Qaeda, listen to me now. So we get confused and we start listening to so many of these voices and we'll lose sight of really where the problems and the solutions are and what really matters. And we'll lose sight that, you know, we're concerned about America getting right. America's concerned about the church getting right. See, America's greatest hope is not a Christian president. Now, I believe the righteous ought to rule. The Bible teaches that there's something special when the righteous rule. So don't take what I'm going to tell you tonight and get off base with it. But somehow we've got to this place in our churches to where we think, you know, what we need is a Christian in the White House. Well, thank God that would be great. Don't misunderstand me. But let's not sit around idly and wait on America to get right. America needs the church to get right. 2 Chronicles 7, verse number 14. Now, I'm going to pick this verse out. There's a context of Scripture here, and I rarely do this, okay? But I just want to, because of time, I want to get out. Notice what this very familiar passage of Scripture, if my people, now that's going to exclude your pimps, your prostitutes, your drug addicts. You say, wait a minute now, hold it. If my people, so well, that was talking about Israel. Then, nationally, but notice what he said next. Which are called by my name. I'm a Christian. So I think this verse can directly refer to me. I am named after my Savior, Jesus Christ. I am called after His name. The name, the very name Christian means little Christ. If my people, which are called by my name, okay? That's not the drug cartel. Well, the problem with America is these gang violent groups, you know, these gangs and these violent groups that are coming in. The problem with America is illegal immigrants. You don't want to know how I feel about illegal immigrants. You'll probably hate me. I believe if you're going to come in this country, you ought to come. You ought to come right. There's a right way and a wrong way to do things. But that's not the problem. Listen, that's not America's main problem. Listen to me now. But we get all this stuff mixed up, don't we? And we start thinking, well, this is the problem. It's drugs. Well, it's not black market drugs anymore. It's prescription drugs. Well, it's not that anymore. It's alcohol. Did you know that America consumes 80% of the whiskey in the world? America consumes 80% of the whiskey in the world. America's drunk. There'll be people in just a few, if I hadn't already, listen, they're going to be drunk. Why? Because they don't know how to do anything without getting drunk. It's the only way they know how to do anything. Got to get drunk. So don't mistake what's being said here. This is not addressing the drug addicts. This is not addressing the gangs. This is not saying if we could just get those prostitutes off the street. If we could just get these rock and roll bands to quit performing, if we could just get, and then the list goes on. But I'm going to tell you what God said. If I could just get my people to get right, He said in verse number, the latter part of verse number 14, he said, "Then I would hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." You think America needs some healing? You want to be a part of that? You say, "I don't believe that. I don't think that counts for America." Well, the Bible says these things are written for our admonition. They're written for our ensample. You God's people? Are we called by God's name? Are we? Yes. We're Christians. You think we can make a difference in the world in which we live? Sure. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? So I tell you how I'm going to do it. I got me a bumper sticker that says I'm a Christian. Honk your horn if you're saved. Honk your horn if you love Jesus. Now you say, "I've got that bumper sticker." Don't get mad at me now. I hope you do more than that. You know. How are we going to do it? Write it down. Number one. See, it's going to be easy, isn't it, preacher? Well, I don't know. You tell me after the service is over. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves." See, that's the number one problem of everybody sitting in this room tonight. Pride. God hates pride. "These six things doth the Lord hate, and seven are an abomination to him." You know the very first thing he mentions? A proud look. God hates pride. God hates pride. And we're so eat up with it. He said, "I'm not eat up with pride." Really? How much time have you spent in prayer today? Asking God to guide you and help you and provide for you. See, pride says, "I don't need God." That's what pride says. Now, it may not say it verbally, but pride says it with our actions. "I don't need God. I won't read His Word for instruction. I won't pray for His direction. I won't get with God. I'm just going to do what I want to do." That's pride. That's pride. I wrote this down. Pride refuses to listen. Pride allows always to talk about their self. Pride has to be noticed. Pride says, "I deserve not only this, but more." Pride is unthankful. Pride cannot be corrected. Pride will not receive instruction. Pride will not follow instructions. Pride says, "It's my way or no way." Pride is always critical and putting down. Pride is selfish. Pride says, "Me first." Pride is like old Muhammad Ali. True story. On a plane, getting ready to go to the runway. And now, if you know anything about Muhammad Ali, he didn't lack confidence. He was about himself. And so he's up entertaining the passengers, and the steward, this is a true story. And the stewardess came up and said, "Mr. Ali, I'm going to have to ask you to please find your seat and fasten your seatbelt. We're getting ready to go to the runway and take off." And as the story is told, he looked at that young stewardess and he said, "I have you to know that Superman don't need no seatbelt." And she said, "And I have you to know that Superman doesn't need an airplane either. So I'm going to ask you one final time to take your seat and fasten your seatbelt. We're getting ready to take off." Amen. You say, what happened after that? Well, I'm just assuming he found his seat and fastened his seatbelt. Pride. Pride. How can you help America? Humble yourself. Prefer others before you. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Listen, this is how God said you can help now. You say, "Well, I'd rather donate to a charity." We won't get there. Let me finish up. Number one. The number one way that God says that you can help your country and bring healing to your land is to humble yourself. Now somebody's sitting there saying, "Well, I've already passed that test." You really need to humble yourself. You really need to humble yourself. Number two, and pray. See, pride says, "I don't need God." Humility prays and said, "I don't need anything but God." Pray. Pray. Have you prayed for America? He said, "I'm going to shoot some firecrackers." Praise God. That's wonderful. Shoot some fireworks. All right? Shoot them. Enjoy them. But Fireworks is not going to help America. Now, if you go, that's great. Have at it. We need to pray, brethren. All of us need to pray for our country. Why don't we set aside some special times and have seasons of prayer for our country, for our elected officials, for our churches, for our pastors? Men of God in our country and around the world need fervent, consistent prayer. Are you praying for them? Do you pray for your country, for God's people, for God's man, for our churches? Churches are the lifeline for this country. All right? Humble yourself. Pray. Seek my face. Spend time with the Lord. I'm telling you how you can. That's number three. That's how you can help your country. Seek God. Pursue God. Well, if we could get people about just half as interested in what's going on in heaven as they are what's going on down at the local ballpark, I'm going to tell you right now. If we could get people just half as interested in what's going on at the local church as they are the county recreation center, we'd have revival. Right? Amen. We need to seek God. Seek God. Number four. This is how you can help your country. Turn from your wicked ways. Everybody in this building tonight has wicked ways that we need to turn from. That's not even up for discussion. That goes without saying. Turn from your wicked ways. What's more important? See, some people are comfortable in their sin. You know why some people are out of church tonight? You know why some people are in total disarray? Because they are comfortable in their sin. And don't you look down on them because you have either been there or you're apt to be there. We can get comfortable in our sin to where it is more comfortable to remain miserable in our sin than it is to repent and get right with God. So he said, here's how you can help your country. Here's how you can help your nation. Number one, humble yourself. Number two, pray. Number three, seek my face. Number four, turn from your wicked ways. And then God said, if you'll do that, it's conditional. He said, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You believe that? I do. I believe that. I believe God's word. I believe every word of it. So what can we do? What can I do? What can you do? What can Fellowship Baptist Church do? We can follow this simple little recipe that God has given us. These are probably some of the most familiar scriptures in the Old Testament, if not the whole Bible, but certainly in the book of Chronicles. We know it, but it's not enough to know it. Are we practicing it? Pride is something that you have to fight every day of your life. Pride. Pride got Satan kicked out of heaven. Pride got Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden. Pride's a terrible thing, brother. Listen to me now. Pride causes disputes, differences, arguments. Pride will keep you from forgiving people. Pride will keep me from making matters right. Pride. Humble yourself. Then pray. So I don't have time to pray. Make time to pray. Make time to pray. Seek God's face. Get in His Word. Seek Him. We heard that tonight. Seek Him. And then turn from your wicked ways. Let's all stand.